Hey everybody, welcome back to the Shallow Dive, finally, after a few weeks off. My name is Megan.
I'm Chessie.
And this week we are answering your questions and discussing anything that you have sent us in the email or on social media. So we're going to get into that today. Chessie, do you have any updates for us, like in your life? Anything that's going on?
I did go to Houston.
How was that? Was that fun?
It was fun. I went because Josh had to work, so I like to just tag along, but yeah, it was fun. I didn't really know what to expect because I'd never really spent a lot of time in Texas besides airplane layovers, and obviously right. That doesn't count.
No.
But yeah, Houston's actually a really cool city. It's very huge. Like, I felt mildly overwhelmed, but while I was there, two very Texas things happened.
Okay.
One, I saw a man wearing two cowboy hats.
I'm sorry, at the same time?
Yeah, like stacked on top of each other. And they were like different colors.
I'm sorry, what now? So he was fully walking around like he wasn't making mention of it. Like he was just like, hello, I'm a man in this world wearing two hats.
Well, it was at the airport, so I don't know if he had, like, just purchased one mm-hmm. or, like, didn't want to, like, carry one around. I don't know, but, like, it looked intentional. I don't know.
I love that. I think I love that. Like, I mean, I guess if you're going to buy a hat and you don't want to squish it mm-hmm. and you're already wearing a hat, what do? But pop it on top, right?
Yeah.
This is actually genius. I had not thought about that. So
he looked like a man who would wear two cowboy hats too.
You're like, sir, you would. Yeah, you would. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Oh, love that.
And then the other thing is I bought an alligator foot.
Oh my God, I saw this on social media. That is the funniest thing ever because you just have to assume that the alligator died of natural causes.
That's what I'm assuming.
And as long as there's no cruelty involved, which I would like to think that there's not.
No, I don't think they kill alligators for their feet.
No, they definitely kill them for handbags, but they do not, they don't kill them for their feet.
Yeah, I'm going to assume it was like a natural cause alligator. Yeah,
he was an old alligator. He died in an old folks home for alligators.
Well, the store that I got it from was super fucking cool. What was the name of it? I think it was called My Flaming Heart. And it was like they had vintage stuff and a lot of cowboy boots.
I love it.
And then the owner made like pinup dresses and pinup shirts and they were really cute. But then like a lot of like oddities like alligator feet.
Alligator feet.
I was like, Josh, I have to buy this. And he was like, you don't need to buy an alligator foot. Like, what are you going to do with it? And I was like, display it.
It's none of your business, and, sir.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to hold hands, okay?
Yeah. It's very cute. And he looks like a very cute little alligator must have owned that foot at one time. So
yes. I told Josh that the spirit of the alligator now lives in our house. So
I love that. I think that's awesome. Why do, also, side note, my phone just rang and it was like my son's doctor. It's Sunday. Like,
that is weird.
Just leave him. I like the like maybe 1 to 2 day before phone calls. Like, you have a reminder for this doctor's appointment. But his are like a week ahead sometimes. And it makes me panic. Like, oh, fuck, do I have an appointment in a couple of days? And I think he does. But it's not like right this second. So
you're like, I'm going to forget it about it again right. by the Fuck. Time it rolls around.
Like, let me check my calendar. If it's not on my calendar, I'm not doing it. So I don't know. I have, yeah, whatever. Anyway, side note, I was like, what the hell? Leave me alone. God bless. Anyway, yeah. I forgot to say this. I went to the donut festival here in town. Since we've last recorded, I feel like it was the weekend after we last recorded, and our city had this donut festival, which, I mean, it was not really a calling it a festival is a bit much.
Like, it like was, there were no rides.
There were no rides. There were a few booths. So there weren't, it wasn't like, holy shit, the streets are lined with donuts. Like, it wasn't anything like that. But it was to benefit a playground that they're trying to get built here. And I got a nifty little coffee mug because I have 500 of them and don't need any more, but I'm always delighted to get a new one. And I sat on the floor with my friend Sam, and we ate donuts and watched a donut eating contest, which was disgusting.
Oh my God, I bet.
I was sick watching, because having gastric bypass, I obviously had issues with food, and so I can't eat like I used to, and even that was like, I'm like, I am triggered to watch these people down like 16 donuts, and like, I was like, oh God, like it was very upsetting, but it was kind of funny to watch because some of our friends did it and they got about 3 or 4 donuts in, and the look of regret on their faces was just priceless. Truly. They were like, oh God, what have I done? It's too much. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've done that. And then what else did I haven't done much lately. God, my life, I haven't done anything, but today I'm going to a food truck festival, which will actually be more like a festival. There will be plenty of food trucks there. So we have a minor league baseball team here in our town, and the stadium is where A League of Their Own was filmed. So they
that's
have
like
this,
our claim to fame.
That's our claim to fame. My husband was like an extra, by the way, in that movie. He's in the stands in that movie somewhere. I was like, have you ever seen yourself in it? He's like, no. I'm like, did you look? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, he's like, oh, yeah, we were extras in that. Like, oh, well, did you? I don't know. I would look for myself, circle it, put it on a billboard.
Yeah.
I'd be like, look how famous I am. You guys can't keep up with me. You're all peasants. Like,
that would be like my fun fact about myself.
Yeah, I'd be like, I was in A League of Their Own, and I'm super famous. They'd be like, well, who'd you play? I'd be like, extra number 196. I was in the in the outfield. So mm-hmm. I would have totally made that my claim to fame. But so there's going to be food trucks like in the stadium today. So I'm pumped about that because I love a good food truck. And that's pretty much all I've done is my life revolves around food and eating food and getting more food and then drinking coffee.
Same.
So, yeah, same. Yeah.
Thanks.
Same, same. All right. So let's get into some of these questions. Chessie, do you have one you want to answer first or ask first, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. Sure, sure.
Okay, so these are questions that some people sent to us and then also some that we made up because...
Yes, because this is where we're at, guys. We're just talking and asking questions and filling an episode. So if you do have more questions, we can certainly do these in the future if something did not get answered, some pressing matter you'd like to discuss, or if you want to have us discuss a specific incident or case or something in the news that has happened, because I know our friend Lillian sent in a couple of interesting things to us, so we may get into that. And some of you have sent in some really cool stuff, so let's go into these questions and see if we can answer some of them for you.
Yes. Okay, Megan, so what case made you interested in true crime?
I believe that the first time I can recall having any interest in true crime was JonBenet Ramsey, because that was like 96, I believe. And she was, 6 years old, I think, then. And I was like 11 or 12. And her face being like plastered everywhere on People magazine and this, like, the Uncanny Valley type situation of like, this child being dressed up as a pageant queen, mm-hmm. but someone murdered her, was like so mind-blowing to a 12-year-old. I was like, so that can happen. Like, I never, realize. So I think that was probably the case that got me interested in true crime, because it was like so awful. And as a child, you see another child get murdered, you're like, holy fuck. So someone came in this, like, it just takes your sense of safety out of, mm-hmm. like, holy shit, I don't feel as safe as I once did. So ever since then.
And you know, like, on all the tabloids, which, I mean, even still to this day, they, like, show her picture, like, her pageant pictures.
Yeah.
So she doesn't even look like a little kid either. No. So, like, that's the other fact. You're like, what's going on with this?
Yeah, like, it doesn't make sense in your brain. Like, you're trying to reconcile that this is a child, but she looks like a 30-year-old woman, you know. And honestly, I know that that was to further the story and sensationalize it, but it would have been more sensational to me if they would have used just one of her regular pictures where she did look like a little girl, because I don't know, like lipstick and makeup and that big hair that we all had for glamour shots. Like, I feel like that just made her look older, mm-hmm. instead of really showing, wow, this was a baby. She was a baby. Mm-hmm. She was little. So like, that was an odd situation. I don't know. What is the one case that sticks out in your mind that made you kind of interested in true crime?
Well, I think I was always interested from a young age, even if I didn't really know the specifics of, like, certain cases, because my mom would definitely watch, like, all the true crime shows, mm-hmm. and she would watch Unsolved Mysteries, and she would always, like, lay in bed and watch TV in the dark, and I would, like, get in bed with her and watch Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes.
And they would scare the shit out of me as a child. So I was always, like, interested, and I also remember my dad had these, like, time books, like, you know, the magazine or whatever, Time, and they come out with, like, special editions, yes, or whatever,
that are thicker, and they have, like, more mm-hmm. like, specifics in them about certain things.
Yeah, so he had books about serial killers, and I just took it upon myself to read them, and I remember Ted Bundy, like, blew my mind, because yeah. it was so horrific, and I should not have been reading that. No. Like, and I remember it went very, like, specific into how he, like, sexually assaulted the girls mm-hmm. at the sorority house. Like, how, you know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
But
you're like, that's a thing that can happen in this world. And that's yeah. something, I think that's why people get so hooked on true crime, even at a young age. Because if you stumble upon something that is so outside of your reality, it stays with you forever. Like, mm-hmm. holy shit, this is a thing that can happen. Like, I didn't yeah. know that.
And I think that is what really made me aware of, like, serial killers.
Yeah.
So, but then, like, as an adult, like, really, like, researching cases and, like, reading books, I would say the West Memphis. Well, I can't talk. I say I that, you know, West Memphis.
Welcome to I Can't Talk podcast, where we talk and cannot talk. We yes. do this every time.
Every time. West Memphis 3 yeah. case.
Yeah, that really, one's wild yeah. as hell. You yeah. know, that one's really tragic because I think it's weird because we grew up and then we saw all these things in the media and that, like, the media is insane because it can spin things in such a way, and that satanic panic stuff, like, which I think we'll probably talk about a little more in depth mm-hmm. at some point, but, like, it's so crazy. Like, that case is nuts, and those people suffered. I mean, they're not the only ones, but, like, God, the shit they've been through, like, is wild. I think it's crazy, like, looking at these true crime cases and, again, just realizing, you know, our lives are so good because this mm-hmm. has not touched our lives. My mom, I was just thinking, my mom had The Stranger Beside Me by Ann Rule, which we talked mm-hmm. about Ann Rule last time. And I didn't read it as a kid, but I kind of skimmed through it. And I was like, because my mom had a bunch of, like, cheesy romance novels, but that one was in the stack of all. My mom's an avid reader, but she used to always have these, like, Fabio looking covers and these men oh, yeah. and, like, all this whatever. And I would, like, sneak to read those because I was like, I didn't understand what sex was or, like, how any of that worked. And that's not the place to learn it, I'm going to tell you right now, because mm-hmm. that shit is insane and, like, right. over-exaggerated. But The Stranger Beside Me, I was like, ooh, what's this one? Stranger Beside Me. That sounds sexy. And I was like, nope, that's not what that means. That is not what that means. I was like, yeah. and close. Yeah, so I didn't read it, and I still haven't read it. Which reminds me, speaking of Ann Rule, I decided to request Small Sacrifices from the library, and it took like 3 weeks because I was like, I'm going to skim the book. I've told the story. I kind of want to see how Anne worded things because I've never mm-hmm. read any of her books. So, and I came down on her pretty hard. So I'm like, let me see what she's got. Our library has one copy. It is from the 80s. It is taped.
Of course.
Pieced together, yellowed, crumbling. Like, someone must have gotten down in a cavern somewhere, dug this book out, dusted it off, brought it to the surface. That's why it took 3 weeks. I can barely open this fucking book, but there are pictures in it. So I was like, I'm afraid to read it now because I'm afraid this book is going to turn to dust if I look at it too long.
Right,
so,
it's just going to disintegrate.
Yeah, but I think it's a really thick book, and it goes back further than like into Diane's life, I think. And it also has pictures of, like, more pictures of the kids than you can Google, because a lot of them's the same, you know, mm-hmm. same old picture, but it's, like, fascinating. But anyway, Ann Rule's dusty old book I dug out of the caverns of our library. I was like, God, that's taken a long time for that request to come in, because usually it's like, if it's a brand new book, takes a while, but, like, this mm-hmm. thing, they dusted off this, you know, somebody was like, oh shit, someone requested the book, we got to go down and get it. Like, it's
yeah.
I was like, geez, where did this thing come from? But anyway, I digress. Whatever.
Funny.
All right. Okay. So let me pull up a question for you. Let me see. If you could travel back in time, where would you go? That's a question from Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you.
If I could travel back in time, where would I go? Okay, if I could travel back in time for, like, one day.
Yeah, just one day.
Maybe, like, medieval times, because, mm-hmm. I mean, hello, we all watch Game of Thrones.
Absolutely.
And it's intriguing. But I wouldn't, and I would like to, like, see what that was like, but I wouldn't want to stay there for any amount Mm-mm. of time, because I need indoor plumbing.
I would only want to stay until I had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So if I go now, I have a few good hours.
Right.
Before I have to go. And then, yeah, I don't want to be there anymore. Because, yes, it would be awesome to see. It would mm-hmm. be so cool to be, like, in a castle in its Ugh. Heyday. Like, a brand new castle. Because, you mm-hmm. know, any castles left now are crumbling old relics. Mm-hmm. But if we could go back and not have to use a chamber pot, mm-hmm. Man,
that it just sounds so romantic. Like, I'm yes. going to a castle.
I want to eat a giant turkey leg, like they do. I don't know. Yeah. I think you can get those okay, at Renaissance fairs.
Okay, so I
fairs.
Think we just need... Okay. I think we just need to go to the Renaissance
Let's
fair.
Let's do that, because it looks fun. And we can go use an actual bathroom, which... Yeah. Ooh, we could get the best of both. So we don't even have to time travel.
That's what point. I'm saying, man.
Yeah, I think we're onto something here.
Yeah.
And then somebody else can wear the hot-ass costumes and stuff. And we yeah. don't have to do any of that. Yeah.
Michigan has the best Renaissance fair ever, and my dad always used to take me, and it was super fun because he would always buy me stuff. And I remember I got a princess crown thing one year, and they had these man-powered rides mm-hmm. where you would get in stuff and they would twist it around and let go and you would spin, so it was very fun. And then a couple years ago my older sister Ginger and I took my niece, and it was hell on earth because it was so crowded and so hot. After 5 minutes, I was I'm done here.
This is my hell. Please yeah, take me home.
It wasn't as good as I remembered. It mm-hmm. was just, yeah, too many people.
Yeah, I am not a fan of that. Where would I go? I can't. There's so many, historic moments I should probably mm-hmm. name. I'm not going to do that.
I know. It's why can't I think of anything?
I know. I think I would probably go back and, see a concert of a really good band during their heyday.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
You know what I mean? Go back and... I don't think I'd want to do Woodstock. I don't know that I'd want to be at Live Aid. I think YouTube's fine for that. But, somebody I really enjoy... during their first set. I would honestly probably go back and watch Black Sabbath, in the 70s, back in the day. When they first got going and, they weren't that good. But, I just wanted to see stuff like that.
I would pick the Beatles.
The Beatles would be good, yeah. Yes. The Beatles, just to see some of, the iconic bands. Or even somebody that I'm not super into, but, Aerosmith in their heyday. Or, somebody that was super big and, just kind of... rock and roll, Motley Crue. I'm not really into those bands, but mm-hmm. I think it would be a sight to behold.
Right.
So I think that would be pretty cool.
Good answer. Yeah. I'm stealing yours.
Yes, yes. You're like, no, fuck that Renaissance fair shit. Yeah. We're not going back to medieval times.
No, no.
Oh, my God. Not doing it. Not doing it.
Okay. So what animal are you most afraid of?
Most afraid of animal. I'm most afraid of any large animal or any predator because yeah. I don't I like domesticated animals. I don't I'll tell you who scares me the most, and this is pathetic, is the common bird. any bird, not a pigeon, not a nothing, whatever. I don't care what kind it is. If a bird gets near my person, I don't like things that flap. So if it's a bat, if it's a bird, if it's a large moth, not a fan. Don't flap near my
face.
Don't
flap at me, bitch.
Don't flap at me, bitch. I don't know you like that. Was it yesterday? I have a video. My husband goes, there's a bird on the porch. And we have a screened-in porch, but the screen on the actual door is broken. So a bird got into my porch. I was like, well, what do you mean a bird is on the porch? He's like, look, and I can see it flying around. And I was like... holy shit, we're gonna have to burn this house down. We can't use that porch anymore. We can't live here. And he goes and gets gloves. And I took a video of him chasing this bird around this porch. And it made, I was delighted. Like, truly delighted. Because he was going to try to just catch it and move it. And it did fly out. He opened the door and he did kind of chase it out. But watching my husband, who is a large man, chase this tiny bird around with gloves made my damn weekend. That was fascinating. But yeah, birds that, anything that flaps, not a fan of, poisonous things. I don't like things that scurry. I don't want a scurrier. I don't like that. Basically, I don't know much about wildlife, so I just stay away from a lot of it.
Basically, you're like, I only like cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs are fine. And anything beyond that, I'm not super sure about. I don't like slimy things. I don't like bugs. I'm not a fan. No thanks.
Well, my answer is kind of funny because I love and hate them all at the same time. Well, I don't even hate them, but my answer is bats because yes. I do love bats. I have tattoos of bats. Like, I like looking at them. I have tattoos of birds. That's hilarious.
My mom goes, your dumb ass is afraid of birds and you have tattoos of them. I was like, yeah, they're pretty. Yeah, so we're in the same boat. You've got bats, yeah. I've got birds, yeah.
But the reason why I'm so afraid of bats is because rabies terrifies the yes. literal fuck out of me.
Yes.
I read this comment on Reddit once about what happens when you get rabies.
It's and so it like bad.
It ruined my life.
It's so bad.
I'm like, I never want to go outside. I never want to see a bat or anything that could give me rabies. Like, it's fucking scary as shit.
Well, the problem is that they can barely scratch you.
Mm-hmm.
And like there was a story recently and it makes me so sad. I heard it maybe on another podcast or something. It was in the news. This man had caught this bat and put it in a bucket and he was going to try to like get a rescue out there because it was a baby bat or something. And he told his son not to touch it. And he let his little boy around this bucket and the bat, and he just the little boy got like a tiny scratch on the back of his hand. Just like a little thing. That little boy died.
Mm-hmm.
And it like was violent. Like rabies is a exactly. violent death. I don't care yeah. what anybody says. That is, by the time he said, oh, it's not that big of a deal. We cleaned it out. They didn't take him to the hospital in time to start the process of getting the shots. And if it's a very small window.
Mm-hmm.
And he died. And he was like
and it's
seven.
Like once you're past that window, there's like
there's no
nothing.
Going back.
No.
It's like, I swear to God, I feel like it liquefies your body. Like it is awful.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love bats. They're so cute, but they carry such scary diseases that, like, I can't, I don't even like, honestly, I don't want to be in caves, really. Like, it's fine, and I go sometimes, and a lot of times they're sleeping.
You're like, but sometimes I do go in caves.
Sometimes I'm a cave-dwelling human, occasionally. I had to go get that Ann Rule book, you know?
So yeah, like, exactly. You got to go to the Chick-fil-A downtown.
Sometimes you got to go to the Chick-fil-A, what's Josh call that?
The Chick-fil-A hole.
The Chick-fil-A hole, yeah. So you got to go down there sometimes, and I bet there's bats in there.
Probably.
Yeah, our town has this little, everyone's like, here's the disclaimer everybody gets. Oh, there's a Chick-fil-A downtown, but it doesn't carry everything. Then what's the fucking point? We have this Chick-fil-A hole that's like in the side of a building. You walk up to this window, and I don't know if you have to like answer three riddles or like what the fuck happens, but they only carry like two or three things off the menu because they're delivered in. Like, oh, it has sandwiches. Yeah, but, like, no fries or whatever. Like, the Chick-fil-A hole downtown in our town is a very strange occurrence. Truly. That's the weirdest.
Yeah.
It's like a pop-up Chick-fil-A that somebody carries a cooler full of food into, and then you just buy it through a hole in the wall. I don't understand.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah. But I know they have bats. That's the way I look
yeah,
at it.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
All right. Let's see about, let me go down the line here. Let's go to a question from Hannah. Chessie's sister Hannah is the coolest person on the planet, and her cat is really cool, and she does a lot of yoga, and I'm super fascinated with her. So let's go to one of her questions.
She's all right.
She I mean, we'll take her. And
just kidding.
We love you, Hannah. So she says, what's your guilty pleasure TV show?
I love this question because, like, I have a lot of guilty pleasure TV mm-hmm. shows. I watch a lot of terrible reality TV.
Yes.
My number one is The Challenge on MTV. Woo-hoo. I've been watching that for like years. I've seen every season, including like the new ones that literally fucking suck because everyone on there is so like just so hateable.
Right.
But yes, yeah, still so good.
So good.
So yeah, The Challenge is my number one, but I used to watch a lot more like reality TV shows that I miss, like America's Next Top Model.
Yes, I liked that one.
Yeah, that was my other favorite. And then like Project Runway was really good. Mm-hmm. But I don't even know if these shows are still on. I just don't really watch them.
I think
anymore.
They might be. They've gone into season 80 and I'm like, I'm kind of over it. You know, like mm-hmm. I don't follow stuff like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep up.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sometimes I do go back and watch, like, old seasons. If oh, I'm yeah. like, yeah. If I just, like, I want to binge something ridiculous, I'll, like, go watch, right. like, season one of Next Top Model, and I'm like, yes. those were the days.
Yes. And those were my favorite, too, because you can watch a show figuring itself out. And, like, mm-hmm. I liked America's Next Top Model because they would take these beautiful humans, and they'd still give them a makeover, and they'd look mm-hmm. totally different. Like, we're going to go bouncy short hair for you. Mm-hmm. We're going to go. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be bad. But they all turn out beautiful. And
I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. There's been some horrible makeovers.
Can you imagine going in as a fucking model? You're a model. You were chosen for a model show. I'm going to be a model on television. And they jack your hair up. They change your look. Like, whatever. Can you imagine just being like one of the oopsies? Like, well, yeah. that one didn't turn out so great.
What used to bother me is they would like bleach blonde some girls' hair, but they wouldn't touch it up the entire season, and they would never tone it right. Like, it would mm-hmm. never be platinum. It'd be fucking yellow.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the season, this bitch would have like yellow hair with like 2 inches of like mm-hmm. black roots. I'm like, I can't.
And then they're like, you're not doing very well in this competition. Yeah. Bitch, this is a modeling competition. You fried my hair off my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's happening? Yeah. So no, I love a good reality show. I didn't really watch. Here's the thing. Last weekend, Friday, I accidentally watched 3 episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians on cable. Like, it was just on TV. Then I remembered it was on Hulu, and I watched 9 more episodes.
Uh-oh.
So I got totally caught up on the last season. And then I was, like, trying to remember, like, when Kim got robbed. So I went back to that season. And then I was like, oh, yeah, let me go back to Caitlyn's transition. And so the rabbit hole has been opened, and I am down in it. So that's probably my guilty pleasure is not being invested in it all, but also thoroughly enjoying the show is Keeping Up with the Kardashians, because I don't technically keep up, but I do bounce around and go backwards a little bit. So,
mm-hmm.
and then a couple, like last year, I wanted to see what Kylie looked like before all her work. And I was like, ooh, what season's that? So I started to like go backwards to kind of see that it's like watching someone transition in reverse. It was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I do find them fascinating, if nothing else. So I definitely don't feel a lot of guilt for much that I do, but that one's I'm like, well, here we are.
Yeah, I do not keep up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, it's so funny because like if you live in this country, it's hard not to technically keep up with them if you are on any right. type of social media. So like if I see something in the news, I wait a year. I go back because they're filming. So I wait like a year till the season's already out and I go backwards and I'm like, oh yeah, let's look at that event and how it played out on the show because, you know, it's always like a year behind or whatever. So that's kind of how I do. I'm like, oh, I remember so-and-so got cheated on. Let me go back. Like, it's silly. But mm-hmm. I did get sucked in and I did end up watching the entire 15th season in the last week and it did not take me it took me 2 days. I'm not going to lie about it. That's what happened. Oh, and speaking of guilty pleasures, I think I told you this, but I will tell our audience. I have a confession, and it's not easy for me, so I just want you to bear with me. I accidentally stumbled upon Phil McGraw's podcast, and it's called Fill in the Blanks.
Fill in the Blanks.
Phil in the Blanks. And it's not terrible because he does interview celebrities and I'm giving him downloads and I feel a little ill about it, but I got to give credit where credit's due. I kind of enjoy it. And
you're falling into the Dr. Phil trap.
I was against him. I tried to fight my love and now I don't know. I think the worm has turned. I think I'm...
I mean, I drew a picture of him as Satan.
And it's still hilarious.
And by that, I mean, I just took a picture of him and drew devil horns on it.
Which is still factually holds up. That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did interview Sophie Turner. So I was like, oh, I want to hear that. And because she's friends with his son or whatever. And I was like, oh, let me pop in here. So you can gain a lot of knowledge even by listening to things you're not super into. Like,
right.
I still take something from Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I still take something from Fill in the Blanks. Come on now. fill in the blanks. That's funny. That's tragic.
I mean, it's good.
It's good.
It could also be filled in.
Filled in. Or, yeah. Let me fill you in. I can't. Yeah. That's great. It's awful and great. did you ask the last question? Did I asked the last question from Hannah.
I think you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've already lost track, guys.
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
The wheels are falling off. Now it's your turn.
Okay. So what career did you want when you were a kid?
I wanted, in second grade, I wanted to be an attorney. So for career day, I wore this like white shirt and carried a clipboard. I probably looked like a parking ticket person more than anything, like a meter reader. But I definitely wanted to do that. And then when I was about in sixth grade, I decided I wanted to be an athletic trainer for the Atlanta Braves. Very specific. Move to Atlanta and travel with the team. I didn't want to work for any other team. I didn't know how any of that worked, but that was the job that I wanted. Very specifically.
Is there a reason
loved baseball and I loved the Braves. They will remain forever my favorite team. I don't really follow baseball as much anymore, but I had a neighbor that loved the Atlanta Braves and she would watch it, and TBS used to air like 95% of their games, and you know, we would watch it all summer. And the athletic trainer just looked like a really cool job, because they'd run out there and they'd be like taping their foot up and they'd be doing some kind of, it's like medical adjacent. And I didn't want to be a nurse. I didn't want to do like a whole bunch of blood and guts, but I was like, I can work with my favorite players. I'm not like the owner. I can't coach because I don't know shit about it, which is sad because honestly, I could coach Major League Baseball. Like I could have, but I was like, I'm a girl. I can't, you know, those are men.
Right.
And it sucks because there are owners of teams that are women. There are, you know, it's a male-dominated profession, but I was like, I can do that as a girl. I can be an athletic trainer. Like, I'm sure that's fine. I could carry scissors. I could carry tape.
Right.
You know, I was very excited about that. And then...
You're like, I can tape feet.
I can tape feet. I can check to see about a muscle. You know, I can stretch you out. Like, I can do all that. And then that just fell to shit because I never actually pursued it. But, that was my goal. And that's, you know, life takes a turn. But when I was 12, I was very adamant about that.
Yeah.
What about you?
I have two big ones that I can think of that, like, when I was younger, I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to be. The first one was I wanted to be a marine biologist. Mm-hmm. And this stemmed from my love of the movie Free Willy. Now, listen, when I say I love this movie, like, it was, like, next level. I think this was a sign of, like, things to come with me, because I'm... like the type of person who, like, when I get into something, I'm like heavily fucking obsessed with it. And like Free Willy, like, it was like my first big obsession, I feel like. Well, first big movie obsession, anyway. So yeah, I loved orca whales. I wanted to work with orca whales. Like, and even back then, I have to give myself credit, because, like, when I pictured working with orca whales, it wasn't, like, at SeaWorld. It was, like, in the ocean. Yes. So even then, I knew.
Yeah.
I knew SeaWorld was fucking evil.
Yeah, it is evil. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, I wanted to work with orca whales.
That is so cute.
And then, oh, my God. I still, like, freaking love that movie, honestly. And orca whales. Aww. Like, they're my favorite animal. Like, I feel like people know that I love orca whales.
You're like, you guys don't understand.
No.
Everybody knows this.
I'm like a whale person, so.
I love it so much.
There's that. And then the second career that I was, like, interested in was a journalist. Mm-hmm. I don't really know, like, where that came from. I like to read a lot.
Yes.
And I don't think I knew, like, careers, like, I could be, like, an editor or whatever.
Right.
Like, I wasn't into that. And I also didn't want to be an author to, like, write books.
Yeah.
I wanted to be, like, a journalist. I don't know. And I do remember I made this, like, fake newspaper at school.
Yes.
And I called it the Tomlinson Times.
Oh my
which
God.
Tomlinson's my maiden name. So that was my name back then.
I
so,
love
yeah, it was called the Tomlinson Times. And I wrote, like, fake articles. And I remember there was, like, a wedding announcement in there. Like, I just wrote in a wedding announcement for made up people.
That is so funny. I wanted to write books when I was little, and then I did look into journalism school, but then I realized, like, I'm not a salesperson, and I'm not somebody that can pursue a story in an uncomfortable situation. So, like, I'm not going to ask you the uncomfortable questions just to get a story. I can't do it. Like, right. I'm not good at, like, if I had any job that requires sales and pushing a product, they're like, I don't want it. I'm like, that's fine. And then I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the same way with, like, journalism. If someone's like, I don't want to talk about it, I'd be like, well, I'm not going to knock on their door. Like, I'm not going to.
Right. You're not going to, like, hunt them down.
No, absolutely not. So I also just wanted to be famous. I don't now, but, like, I really wanted to be famous, like an actress. Or, and then I took like no acting classes. I've been in no plays. I've done no work to become famous, but I definitely wanted to be when I was little. Cause
yeah,
I,
me too. Yeah,
so I don't know. I think kids always want that because that's what you see on TV.
Right.
So, right. Yeah.
I definitely liked being, like, the center of attention. Yes. And, like,
and I still kind of love that. Sometimes. Other times I'm like, oh, God, please don't notice me. Oh, Jesus, yeah. Please, God, don't talk. No one talk to me. But, yeah, as I get older, I'm mellowing out. But I definitely talk enough to try to take the attention. And I'm like, Megan, stop. You've got to stop doing this. I catch myself. I'm like, you're being insufferable. Please stop.
Well, that's why we started a podcast, right. So we can just talk.
We are definitely the center of attention right now. So yeah. Even if no one listens.
To each other.
Yeah. Yes. So let's see. Ooh, this is a good one. So Debbie asked, what's the most difficult decision you feel like you've ever made in your life?
Debbie's getting deep.
Damn, Debbie.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know.
I don't either.
Because I feel like I've never really made, like, any truly hard decisions. Like, Josh and I have made, like, a couple of big moves.
Sure.
Like, to where, oh, we're moving to a new place and I'm going to have to find a new job and we know literally no one.
Right.
But even then, I feel like I'm the type of person who's just kind of like, I make the decision and then I think about it later.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, yeah, sounds like a good idea. Yeah. So,
and then you deal with your life based on, we've already made this decision. So it's not like, right. Oh my God, should we, shouldn't we? It's like, here's the decision. Here's how it's going to be. Now we'll figure this out. So that,
right.
That does take the difficulty out of it, honestly. Like, I don't debate a lot on decisions. I'm the same way. Like, I don't go like, oh my God, what are we wearing? Like, oh my God, like, you guys, what should, I'd never... I see on Facebook all the time in different places, like, oh my God, we're trying to pick this. What do you feel like's the best one? Like, who can't, why are you asking anybody? Just do it. Like, very rarely do I get with my group of friends and be like, what are you guys wearing? Like, sometimes we'll talk about it, but little stuff like that, never, I just never do that. So I apply that to big stuff too. Like, I had to make a difficult decision, I guess, at 23. I think I was 23. I was married and I had a child and I decided that we needed a divorce and to part ways and how we were going to navigate that. But it wasn't a difficult decision. I know that sounds crazy because it completely upturned my life, my son's life, my ex-husband's life. Like, it, there's a ripple effect when all that, you know, children are involved and everything. But, like, I don't feel like it was a difficult decision, truly, because the decision was done. The difficulty came in navigating afterward. So,
right.
Like, I don't know that I've made a difficult decision. I think I've made some decisions that probably should have been more difficult, but they're not to me. Like, I've cut people out of my life that people are like, well, that's family or that's... Oh, I have no problem. Yeah. Let me tell you what. I've got the biggest fucking pair of scissors on the planet. I will cut you out and it does not bother me. Like, if you are toxic and my situation immediately turns around because you are no longer in my life, that was not a difficult decision. That was a blessing. So
I feel like in the past, see, it's hard because I feel like when I get, like, as I'm getting older, I am more in my head and I do think a lot more about things. But yeah, I used to do that shit. Like, I would just cut someone out, like no feeling about it. Yeah. Just, like, one day be like, I'm not fucking talking to them anymore. And, like, honestly, there's, like, a couple people that you're I like, regret whoopsie. Doing that to. Right. Yeah, I'm like, that was my fucking bad. Right. Like, but I do feel like... I don't know. I'm at least grown up enough to admit it now and that, you know, that is a regret.
And that's the thing I've done as well. You're absolutely right.
But
that's like cutting.
There's also, sorry. No, I keep interrupting.
No, we're just talking over each other.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, listeners.
Hey guys.
I do feel like, yeah, there's definitely people who it was a good decision.
Absolutely. And I feel like I feel like decisions are, they are what they are. I made that decision based on very little information before, a few years ago, and I do regret that. Like, I have made amends with one person that I care about very much that I truly thought was like out to get me, or like, I feel like I thought she was thinking about the situation as much as I was, and I don't believe she truly was. I was making it much more, I was making it worse in my head. Instead of having an honest conversation with someone I cared about, I got my feelings hurt really bad. And instead of saying, I feel really hurt, this is how I would like to address this, I was like, fuck you, I'm going to cut you out before you can cut me out so you don't hurt me any further, which is an insane thing to do. But I used to always like break up with people before they could hurt me, or like whatever. But now I think I am more assertive and also able to express my feelings better. So that almost goes hand in hand. Like, yes, I do regret certain things, but I've made amends where I can. And some things you have to cut your losses on. But right now, my husband and I were just talking about it. Like, the decisions that we've had to make for ourselves in the last few years appear difficult to others, and they are difficult. But I can't name any one situation that didn't have an almost excellent outcome, you know, for like whatever we're doing. So, you know, you just have to take a leap sometimes in all aspects of your life and hope it works out.
My most difficult decision is always like, what am I going to have for dinner?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, what am I, am I going to miss out on Taco Tuesday by getting pizza? Or, you know, what happens? Like the other night, oh, I'll tell you about a difficult decision. Matt really wanted fucking Cheddar Bay biscuits. This is so stupid.
Oh, man.
And we have not been to Red Lobster together. I've been with him 6 years. He's allergic to shrimp. There's no reason for us to go. Like, he's not allergic to all seafood, but whatever. Anyway, he's like, I really want some. I didn't think about just going to pick up the mix that you can buy at the store and making him some. We're going to go spend $80 on a fucking meal that's not good. Because Red Lobster, I'm sorry, Red Lobster is not good anymore. Or it may never have been, and I thought it was. Like, maybe I thought it was fancy and tasted good, and now that I've not been there for a long time, I was not pleased. We spent so much money, and it was the last day of the month, which means our favorite pizza place is pizza of the month last night for it. So we could have got like a $6 pizza, a piece, a little pizza, or eaten shitty Red Lobster. And guess what we did? We ate shitty Red Lobster. The pizza's gone. Regrets were had. That's all I'm saying. Those are the difficult decisions in my life. And that means I am very privileged and blessed, because I have to make decisions in my job every day that affect people's lives, but I don't have a hard, I'm confident in my decision making. Like, if I regret it or if I make a mistake, I own up to it. I say, oh my gosh, let's learn from that. That was not the right decision. But I think the people that have the most trouble making decisions are people who have either been beat down mentally and emotionally by somebody that they just really don't know how to make their own decisions. Like, if you've been controlled by someone or whatever, or you're just like reckless as hell. So I feel like I'm neither of those things. So decision making is hard, but I try to make it as quick as possible and just like, let's get this done, you know, except for food. Yeah. Except for food. That's where we just really go.
Yeah,
go
downhill. That's right. Shit. That's right. God. All right. So what would be the most annoying thing about having yourself as a roommate?
Well, I talk this fucking much, I'll tell you that. that's probably one of them. My husband said at first, when we first moved in together, just like the way we did things was different. And so it was kind of annoying, like, if you put things a certain place and another person doesn't. Or like, at the time, I would brush my teeth in the shower. And he's like, that wasn't annoying, it was just weird. Like,
it is weird.
It is super weird, yeah. So I would always brush my teeth in the shower. And he's like, there's a toothbrush in the shower. Like, what the fuck is happening? And I just, it was a weird habit that I had. And he was weirded out by that. But I try to be extremely courteous of others. And sometimes we think we are and we're still thoughtless. But I would have to ask... Oh, my roommate Andrea, one time when I actually had roommates, I lived with some friends right after my divorce, and I was on Phentermine to lose weight. So I would like fucking clean the apartment till like midnight and just like go in their room. I'm like, you want me to do your laundry? And I do like 8 loads of their laundry. They're like, we're not, it's not that deep. We have clean clothes. Like, I'm like, you want me to fucking scrub the toilet? Like, what do you want? I was like, and she's like, you're so annoying. Like, you're on my nerves. You keep putting stuff away that I didn't ask. Like, I was in her shit all the time because I was just amped out on crack, basically, because Phentermine is a terrible drug. It's like speed. So I was like sweaty all the time and like hyped up and nervous. And so I think being like, well, being on drugs will do it. Like, I think that'll make you a shitty roommate. But I don't know. It's like people that could answer that Matt's not dumb enough to answer it fully because he has to live here with me. So, yeah, my husband was very kind about it, as he is with most things. But what about you? What do you think would make you a shitty roommate or, like, an annoying roommate?
I'm definitely messy, so I'm gonna have to go with that, mm-hmm. just because, like, I just leave my things out, or just unorganized, but I know where they right. are type of thing, and Josh is the opposite of me, like, he's very neat, yeah. so he just, like, goes behind me and cleans up my messes, which is very apparent when he, like, goes out of town for work, because the house is a fucking mess within, like, 5 minutes, and I'm like, how did this happen? Right. And it's because Josh isn't, like, walking behind me and picking things up, right. so... I'm sorry, Josh.
Sorry, Josh. Sorry. We didn't mean to be that way. Isn't that funny how you'll look around and go, who the fuck has messed up my house? And you're the only one there. You're like, oh, yeah. It's me. It's you're me, like, guys.
Oh, shit.
Yep, that's
These
me.
These are all my things.
That's actually from me. And there's no one here for me to blame. And I am now stuck with my own issues right in front of my face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Josh has never, like, told me what annoys him. Yeah. But I tell him all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
His two things that he does that really annoys me. A, we have, like, a Brita water filter, mm-hmm. and he never fucking fills it up.
Nope.
And so I open the fridge. There's, like, 1 inch of water. I'm like, bitch, you used this last.
Right. There's a literal drop left of water.
Yeah.
You're like, what's happening here? I don't understand what's going on. Yeah.
Yes. And then the other thing is, like, our laundry room is off of the kitchen,
yes.
and he'll do laundry and then leave the door open so it's super loud, and I'm always, like, walking past and shutting the door. And I mean, this happens, like, 5 times a day.
Right.
And I'm always like, you're pet peeving me, babe.
Yeah, you're getting on my nerves. Yeah.
You're pet peeving me.
That's, like, what I think about. I just have to be really grateful and try to remember how lucky I am to have my own home, because, you know, I work in a shelter where people have experienced domestic violence or sexual assault, and communal living is so hard. These are strangers.
Oh, God, I can't imagine.
Yeah, they're living together, and my job, part of my job is to help them navigate it, first of all, and really break up disputes sometimes of, like, you know, we all live differently. So if you're in a communal living and I do things in the kitchen a certain way and I'm used to leaving my dishes, well, you can't just leave them because you're not in your own home. So, like, it's this back and forth. So I try to, like, remember that I'm very lucky, and, like, everybody that lives together always gets on one another's nerves. That's just part of being a human. We all have mm-hmm. our habits, and you do create kind of a flow with someone, but... like, I trip over my husband's, like, workout stuff all the time. And I'm like, I'm just grateful to have a husband. I'm grateful that he likes to work out. I start to talk to myself, like, just chill the fuck out. Because mm-hmm. sometimes I'll be like, who the fuck splashed stuff all over my mirror? But we have two sinks. And it was clearly me. Because it's on my sink. Like, I just get all in my head. And I'm like, first of all, it's probably me. You know, second of all, just be grateful somebody married your ass is at this point.
Right.
So, yeah, living with somebody is difficult. And I can't imagine actually having to have roommates. Like, to have roommates.
No.
So I feel for you, all of you out there that have roommates, I am so sorry, just in general. I know mm-hmm. that's difficult. It's hard enough to share a workspace with other people, much less,
right.
like, that's, I can't even. I'm so glad that I have only had to have a few roommates in my time, and it was not a very long situation. It was just a couple of months. Mm-hmm. So blessed be, because I can't do it.
Right.
Don't like it. Let's see. Let's do another question. We did the career one. Let me look through the list. What are we going to ask? Do you have any weird, like, off the wall fears? Like, are you scared of anything that's,
you mean besides rabies?
Yeah. I have an irrational fear of rabies, which is not irrational, if you ask me.
Well, I don't really think that it's weird, but I really... Okay. Milk that is past its date. Like, I literally can't be around it. I can't be around it.
Like, at all. Like, in your home or otherwise.
No. If it's in my home, I have to go into the other room while Josh dumps it out, because I'm like, if I see a chunk come out of milk, if I smell it, like, I'm gonna vomit.
Oh, my God. Like, have you ever as a kid, it doesn't bother me now because I'm an adult and I'm one that does. Have you ever?
Thinking about it literally makes me like, oh God, I hate it so much.
Have you ever opened up something that had a bit of mold on it as a kid and it scarred you for life? Because it I opened up Cool Whip one time. And I was like, oh, like, it scared me so much. I was like, what the fuck is that? Threw it out. Like, as an adult, I can kind of see when something's about, like, bread or whatever. Like, you're like, oh, no, I'll throw that out. But as a kid, I thought my life was over. Like, I thought it was coming to an end. Because it's like when you see the ring or whatever and, like, you saw the tape and now you have to die. Or
7 days.
Yeah, like, I thought I had 7 days to live after some – I was betrayed by some Cool Whip. That was – awful. But yeah, I have a weird fear of expired milk. That's not weird. Yeah. That's fucking gross. Like,
it's so gross.
No, I can't do it.
When I was a kid, my sister Hannah and I had like the whole upstairs to our house, mm-hmm. and we were like fucking disgusting and would like leave cups up there. Yes! You know what I mean? So you would like have your drink and then leave the cup up there. One time I don't know why she did it, but Hannah took a drink out of a random cup, and it was, like, old milk. So, like, A, why did we have milk upstairs?
Yeah. Number one, that's an odd drink choice to set around anywhere.
And B, like, Hannah, why are you drinking random drinks?
But she
like, took a drink and immediately vomited.
Oh, and
I think maybe that's where my fear came from.
Oh, yeah, you can't unsee that.
No, the sip and the puke.
I did stick my hand down and luckily did not drink. When I was in high school, I don't even know if I had my license yet, to be honest. I was like a football manager or whatever. I didn't know any shit about football. I just wanted to be around cute boys. So Coach Murphy, I think it was his name, he's like, pull my truck around to the field. So he would let us like pull his truck around. I'm sure I had my license. I don't know. Allegedly. Let's all say allegedly because I don't know. That's probably whatever. But like he chewed. And I stuck my finger down in a can like he'd been spitting in. And I was like, I'm going to kill myself. Like, I almost drove his little S10 like off a ravine at that point because I was like, this is the
There's
end.
Like no ravines by None. You. You have to find
I will
a
drive
ravine.
That S10 probably without a license, allegedly, till I find a ravine. I'm in the Midwest. There's no zero. I will drive it into the fucking Ohio at this point. Like I felt it touch me and like, thank God I didn't take a swig because, you know, people have had that happen. Ugh. I was like, my soul seeped out of my ass and just flew away. I couldn't, because it's like so disgusting and gross and like it kind of like slopped over on my hand and I was like, I'm going to die. So I hate shit like that. It grosses me out.
And like chew spit. So fucking bad.
Oh my God. Like, it's so, I hate to see anybody with chew in their mouth. I have a hard time looking at someone that's chewing. I can't listen to a single podcast where someone is smacking their lips and chewing or eating. I can't. Some of my most favorite podcasts, I cannot listen when they're smacking their lips eating, especially like a croissant or something bready that's dry. I can hear it. I can tell
a
what you're
scone.
If you're eating a fucking scone, which has happened because Karen Kilgariff from My Favorite Murder has a podcast with Chris Fairbanks, and I love it because they're like two of my favorite comedians, but sometimes they will get treats like from Starbucks and eat a goddamn scone while recording, and I wish I were dead, so I just shut it off. Can't do it.
Like, a scone is the driest thing you could eat.
My mouth is like watering trying to compensate thinking about a scone because they're so dry. But yeah, it's not a fear, but it's definitely like God, my skin will crawl off my body if I hear that. So, oh, you know what? My irrational fear is that someone will drop acid off of an overpass into my windshield and scar my beautiful face. That is exactly my biggest fear, is that I will get acid thrown in my face. Because bringing it full circle, Dr. Phil's wife's sister had that happen to her.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm pretty sure it was Robin's sister because I read Robin's book like 10 years ago or something. And I feel like she mentioned having someone dropped like something full of acid off of an overpass. So anytime there's someone on a walkway over on an overpass, I like duck. I'm like this. I do want to, I hide my face with my hands as if that's going to help. But like something being dropped through my windshield or like, I just can't. Here's the thing with anxiety. I'm afraid of everything. So
yeah, me too.
But irrational fears, that's one of them for sure. Like a weird fear. And I'm very afraid of getting my hands caught in things. Because if I ever, I'm a licensed massage therapist that does not practice at this time. But if I want to, I'm just afraid of getting my hands, like, smashed or hurt, because I just can't.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
I would be out of a job.
You would also be out of a job, yes. Yes. So, I don't want that to happen. But yeah. Weird fears.
When you said drop acid, I was like, yeah, are you afraid people are going to hallucinate?
Yes, or? I am 100% of people hallucinating in general. Yeah. I don't want anybody to have fun at festivals. I don't want anybody to have any fun. Like, actual acid, not the drug. You can drop acid all you want. It is none of my business. But mm-hmm. do not drop a, like, mason jar full of acid onto my right. beautiful face. Because this is the moneymaker. This is all I've got left. Please, God. Yeah, so that's my weird fear.
So I guess, speaking of massage, should we answer the do's and don'ts of massage clients?
Yes, because my buddy Brick, he's an avid listener, and he's getting real stressed out that we haven't put out an episode. So sorry about that, Brick. You are our number one fan, and we should get you some sort of t-shirt. He asked, as well as listener Jennifer, side note on Jennifer, she did clear up that the mounted police that I had mentioned in one of the episodes, the blonde horse's name's Blondie, and I think his rider's name's like Tyrone or something, and it's the police officer that rides him that keeps him. He like lives at a farm with the horse. Like,
are you serious? I swear. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Blondie and Tyrone, which is the cutest. I want to see a show with that. And the reason why I didn't say horse cops is because it sounds like horse cocks, and people are like, did you just say horse cock? And I'm like, I did not, but now we're gonna clear that up. So I'm gonna call them mounted police.
Yeah, there you
go. Don't know if that's the proper term, but the police officers who ride horses has mm-hmm. Blondie's the blonde one, because obviously. And I don't know, the brown horse with the police officer, I don't know their whereabouts, nor do I know their names, locations, anything, you know. So
just the blonde horse.
Just Blondie and Tyrone, I believe. So Jennifer asked about massage do's and don'ts as well. And because Chessie and I actually met doing massage and aesthetics work together, we both know that the industry is we obviously don't ever want to offend anybody, and we want to keep our business, but we do think it is good to clear things up, because people do have a lot of questions on, like, mm-hmm. Like, what's the proper attire? What's the proper etiquette? How do I do this? And I just say, my basic thing is dress comfortably. Please shower before you come. Mm-hmm. Be sure that you're clean. Someone's going to be right up in your grill, either doing facials or getting a massage. Your parts are being, you know, massaged. Be appropriate, dick jokes, flopping your titties out as a funny joke, getting undressed while I'm standing there, probably not appropriate. It has happened to me where a woman flashed me while I was still talking to her before.
A lot of times people will, like, because we take them back into the room mm-hmm. and then kind of explain, you know, what to do or whatever, and people start getting undressed while you're still in there.
Yeah.
And that is when I try to escape as fast as possible. Absolutely. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go.
You know what? I'm actually going to shut the door, and you can, so just wait, and you can take your shoes off while we're talking, but, like,
you can set your purse down.
Absolutely. Like, I'll kick my shoes off or start taking my watch off, but, like, I'm not going to, you know, don't get undressed until we leave the room. That's super appropriate. You're covered at all times. There's not going to be any of your parts out exposed. There's always a sheet or blanket or both. Listen when you get there. First of all, be early. Always, always, always be early. I don't care if your appointment's at 10 and you roll in at 10:01 and now you want to go to the bathroom and then you're new, so you have to fill out paperwork. That's not appropriate. And I can say that, and I don't care if people get mad. Like, it's not appropriate. It is not appropriate. If you need to use the restroom or do anything, be early. If you don't, please understand that your appointment may be cut short because you have now taken up, you know, this is appointment based. So after you, there's someone right after you. There's someone right after them. And if you run late, it runs the entire day late. So have some courtesy just for your hairstylist, your estheticians, your massage therapist, any service that you're being provided on an appointment basis. Be early, cancel ahead of time if you have to, just call somebody, just let them know. Even if it's an emergency and you're like, oh shit, I am not going to make it, give them a heads up. It's just common courtesy because you would want that extended to you. That's the way I look at it. I'm going to say be clean again. I'm going to repeat. Some people will sit in the sauna and then get a massage, which is whatever. But like, if you're clean going into the sauna, you're not super nasty when you get out typically, but mm-hmm. like, I just don't think you should come in filthy. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. why I have to say that, but I do. Please do not spring a massage or facial or anything on someone. Let them know what you're doing so that they have an appropriate amount of time to shower after work, or, you know, dress appropriately without a full face of makeup. And then you're like, oh, I'll take you to lunch afterwards. Like, let somebody know that they're going to be massaged. Some people don't like massages. Valentine's Day is not the time to spring it on your boyfriend. I have had people very angry that did not enjoy their massage because their girlfriend did not tell them what was about to happen. And they were dirty from work and they were embarrassed. Don't spring a personal thing like that. Gift cards are great. Gift cards are awesome. Do not schedule something for somebody unless you've discussed it with them. It's just not appropriate unless you are certain they are going to get up, have a shower, and be so excited that you did this. I don't think you should be scheduling things for other people. Mm-hmm. That's one of my biggest things. But yeah, men, if you want to wear some longer shorts, we can always roll those up, you know, to get your legs. If you're not comfortable, let somebody know what you're comfortable with, what you're not. If you don't like your massage while you're getting it, be polite and say, you know, that's a little too rough, or could you go a little bit deeper? Don't wait to complain until the massage is over, because then nobody wins. You got a crappy massage, the massage therapist didn't know, you know, or like if your facial, like if the steam is too much, like say, you know, could you move that back? Whatever it is, let somebody mm-hmm. know while it's happening and they can correct it. That's their job. No big deal.
I would much rather someone tell me, you know, yeah. while it's happening yes. so that I can fix it and they can enjoy the rest of their service.
Yeah.
And that way they're not unhappy. Right. Like, I want them to come back to me. Absolutely. And I want them to enjoy their service. Yeah. Like, I don't want someone to, like, complain later after the yeah. fact and never come back.
Yeah. yeah. Communication is key, because honestly, most service providers want to give you the best service that you can have, and sometimes people be like, could you turn the table warmer off, it's a little hot. And they were like, oh no. I was like, yeah, this is your service. Like, if you're hot, if you're cold, like, let me know, instead of going on Yelp or somewhere and being like, well, the room was too hot, the room was too cold, she didn't do this. It's like, okay, well, just like, let me know, and we can certainly switch that up. It's really not that deep. So just common courtesy. If you're not a courteous person, I really probably can't teach you that, but when I'm speaking to you, maybe don't be on your phone the whole time, or, you know, just like, let's interact during this. You only have a certain amount of time for an appointment, so let's get this show on the road. Come early if you've never been there. Make sure you fill out your paperwork. Go to the bathroom. Get a drink of water. Do whatever you need, but do it beforehand, before you go back. And then don't be mad if you're appointment turns into 45 minutes when it should have been an hour because you were 15 minutes late. So just common courtesy. And if you're mm-hmm. uncomfortable, you can call ahead of time and say, I'm having my first massage. I'm really not sure what to expect. Could you?
Yeah. Don't be yeah. afraid to ask questions.
Absolutely. And if you have any questions for us, you can shoot us an email as well. I mean, I know it's like off topic, but we'd be glad to make your experience the best wherever you're at. Like, it doesn't matter what service you're getting. But if you are a fucking pervert, don't think that we won't call your ass out. Like, I have no tolerance for that. You're in a very small room with a female. Ugh. Don't be disgusting, because I will fucking call your mama. I will call your wife. I will call your grandmama. If you think that I'm telling you right now, there are men that try to outskirt, like push it just a little bit, like maybe I'll make a joke and see how she reacts. You are making people uncomfortable, and you're a fucking pervert, and I'm not having it.
And it's so unfair, because yeah. it's like, I'm just, luckily I haven't had to deal with too many situations right. like that. I mean, I've had a few, sure. but it's like, I'm just trying to do my job,
yeah.
sir.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally at work trying to do my job. I don't want you to call yeah. and ask if we give happy endings.
Right.
I don't want you to try to insinuate things. Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to do my job. It's not fair for you to be inappropriate.
Because I don't come to the fucking factory and throw rocks at you while you're trying to work. You know, like, I don't flop my vagina out in front of you and be like, look at this. Like, you're fucking gross.
They'd probably like it.
Well, that's the thing. Y'all are nasty. So quit being fucking mm-hmm. nasty. Because everybody, mm-hmm. like, how inappropriate. It's a very rare profession. So, like, that doesn't happen everywhere. But, like, I'm telling you what, I've had old men try things and say, well, you know, I'll just bring this little teeny, teeny towel because I really like to be naked. I'm like, you can be naked, but you're going to be covered. Like, one guy tried to say he called one of our managers when we worked together and said he was allergic to sheets. And he's like, yeah, I can't have sheets on me. And she was like, yeah, well, then you can't come here because you're going to be covered.
Getting a sheet.
Yeah, you're getting a sheet, bitch. So don't try to fucking snow a snowman, man. We've heard it. We've seen it. And if you think, like, the thing is that you put someone in a position where they don't want to lose their job. They don't want to lose business. And they're like, oh, should I say anything? Is this, when it happens to you, it's so, like, surreal that you're like,
it's so awkward. So
awkward. And you're like, okay. Like, I've stopped a massage before because someone was being inappropriate. And the place I worked at the time said they had a zero tolerance policy, but they were one of those chains that, like, you have a membership and they wanted to keep his money. And they're like, we just won't put him with you anymore. And I was like, no, you don't need to put him with anyone because he's making people uncomfortable. And come to find out, he'd done this to several people. And he was asking about, you got any remedies for erectile dysfunction? I'm like, yeah, go see a fucking doctor. Like, don't play. I'm telling you what, I have no patience for shit anymore. I don't know what it is about me now, but I'm way more assertive than I used to be. So if you better come correct if you're going to be in a closed room with a female or a male. I mean, we have male therapists too. Don't be inappropriate. Don't be disgusting.
No.
Male or female, women out there are nasty too. And sometimes nastier than men. So don't be disgusting. You're paying for a service just like you'd get your oil changed or anything else. Don't be disgusting. And we would be happy to work with you. But if you're fucking gross, if you don't think for 1 second I'll try to ruin your goddamn life with it, I can't stand a pervert. And I just think, like, I've not said anything before, but if something were to happen to me, if you think I wouldn't take to social media, because now I'm not in massage therapy, and I wouldn't try to, like, cause any problems for a business I was working for, but I'm not having disgusting people do disgusting things in my presence anymore. I just have no tolerance. We're not in a climate anymore where that's acceptable. There's movements against things like that. So just don't be a fucking gross perv. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just be cool.
It's like when men try to ask me if my name is Chesty.
Yeah.
Bitch, no. That's not my fucking name. You're not creative because I've heard it before. Like, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, you're real original. Like.
Right.
I just think that you should keep comments to yourself. If you push a little bit and you get it immediately, like, shut down, that's inappropriate. Like, I had a client one time, and honestly, I can't say he's great. Honestly, he's great. I really think he's great. He tipped really well. He wasn't, like, perverted, but sometimes you get some people who make a lot more noise than others, and I don't think he was, like, borderline, but, like, when he came to me, he was never inappropriate, but I still was like, I feel like we're getting into a weird territory, but, like, I think it's because I'm so on high alert, you know, like, is this person gonna be gross? But then you kind of realize that some people are just weird. Like, they're just weird, and I can make excuses for people who are just kind of different, and that's fine. But if you are nasty or disgusting, or if I get any inkling that you're gross, I won't see you again. Like, and you'll be known. That's the thing. Do you really want to be known? Is being a pervert more important to you than being, like, your reputation as a pervert? Like, who wants to be known as that? Like, you're fucking gross, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, women too. I'm not discriminating against men here because there are people, you know, that have also been inappropriate with male therapists and female to female. I mean, it happens, but just be clean, be courteous, be on time. And, you know, and we try to pay
not a pervert.
Not a pervert. And we try to pay that forward. Tipping, that's however you feel. If you, you know, 15% or more is typically what I try to tip higher because I did this work, and it's sometimes you get no tips. And so I think if you've never worked in the service industry, you're not going to, like, know, but you should always tip really well if you can. And if you're a very consistent client that you come every week, I mean, your tip's probably going to be a little different because you're not there all the time. But, like, you know, as long as you're bringing me business, and I think you should definitely tip your servers, tip any person that's doing your hair, your nails, whatever. You just always be a good tipper because you're also remembered. Like, you're damn near pervert level in my book. If you're not a decent tipper, come on, guys. you should just always try to do that, because you don't know how much somebody makes an hour. You don't know what they're paid like. So if it's a tipping service, people are like, well, they should just get paid more. Well, yeah, they should, but like they're not. So pay your people, man.
I have no comments
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, no comments. But yeah, you just don't know. And I think you should tip people. I really do. Like, if you don't, I'm still going to give you the best service that I'm going to give you. It's not based on like, oh, well, whatever. But it's like, man, if I know I'm not going to get a tip, it's a bummer. Like, I will still give you the best service that I can. I'm not going to say, well, you're going to get a shitty service, because that's not the kind of person that I am. But, you know, just tip people. It doesn't hurt you, you fucking tightwads. Like, come on now. Do some tipping. That's in my book. And I know people are like, oh my God, like, we should never see her if she does massage because she expects a tip. It's like, fuck yeah, I do. I'm sorry. I don't do massage right now. So maybe I'm in a place to say that, but like, yeah, a little tip is nice. Like, thank you for your, you know, it shows that you are appreciative. Hey, if I give a shitty service though, and you didn't like it, let me know. And I don't expect a tip. Like, if you didn't like what I did, I get it. Like, oh my God, I'm not tipping. I don't even want to pay for this. Like, but let's work it out. Like, if, you know, I want to make it the best experience for every client. Like, I want you to have a relaxing, enjoyable experience that you paid money for. So
I just feel like when I do get a tip, I feel like flattered by it. Yes. Like, I'm like, oh, they, you know, enjoyed their service. I'm really glad. Yes. And this is like how they show it. So yeah, it's motivating. It makes me feel happy.
Yeah. So if you want to make me feel happy, that's how you do it. Yeah. You just, but, you know, again, communication is key, and the client matters, and we want you to feel like you matter and that you, you know, you got the service that you came for. And if not, I think most providers would rather you say something and in a kind way instead of like make a complaint or put a Facebook review up or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. You could just address it and say, I don't mean to be rude, but like, that was not what I really wanted, and I'm kind mm-hmm. of upset with it. Let's make this right. It's really not that deep. Just make it right. And most people are very excited to do so. So I think that's all I've got on that one.
Same.
Yeah. No. Anyway, anything else? I think we're good. We're right at our time, I think, for this week.
Yeah. I think we're good on questions, but yeah. I do have a couple of recommendations.
Please.
So the first one is a show. It's on FX, and season one just ended. It's called What We Do in the Shadows, and I'm so fucking obsessed with it. We just watched the season finale the other day and I got depressed.
Aww.
Does that ever happen? It's yes. Like, damn, I like have to wait over. For this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a funny show, and it's like a mock documentary style about vampires. And it's just, it's hilarious. I love the humor. Like, some of it's very like deadpan. Yes. And I really like that.
Yeah.
And there was actually a movie of the same name, and I love the movie as well, and I'm so happy that they came out with a show. So I would recommend that show to everybody.
Okay.
And then my second recommendation is a book that I just finished. It's called The Invited, and it's by Jennifer McMahon. She writes, like, mystery thrillers, and a lot of them are, like, supernatural, but then tie into real-life mysteries. And when I say real-life, I don't mean, like, true. I mean, like, yeah.
Things that can happen.
So all her books are really good. But, yeah, I just finished The Invited, which is her newest book, and it's about a couple that move to the countryside, and they're like building their own house, and the wife like gets obsessed with the history of the property because there were some like scary things that went down there. Mm-hmm. And so she like investigates that, and then it just kind of ties into like how it's affecting them in present day. And it was really good. It was one that I was like, yes, I'm excited to read this.
That is exciting. I saw the mm-hmm. cover just now. I pulled it up so that we could post it or whatever, but like, holy shit, that's like I love judging a book by its cover. I really do. Yeah. I usually pick the best books by their cover, and that's a cool cover. So
yeah, it was a good book.
I love that. What do I have? I wrote some stuff down and then promptly forgot where I wrote it down, and it might be in my purse, in my car, in the garage. So that doesn't help. But
oh yeah,
what have I been? I've really just been reading The Magicians, which is Lev Grossman's book. Mm-hmm. That sparked a series on Sci-Fi, which I have watched 3 seasons of. I think there's 4 out, but like Netflix has 3. And so I'm on the first book and I enjoy it so far. I do like the show. What else have I? I feel like there was something that I watched that I thought, oh, that Dead to Me with Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini on Netflix. The first season is out. It is, I think, a woman named Liz maybe created the show, and she's really done a great job with this. There's like...
It was really good.
God, it was so good. And like, there's a lot to it, and I just really like that. So watch Dead to Me as well on Netflix. And God, what
that was the like first show in a while that really like grabbed me. Yes. And I watched it all in one day.
I watched it like, in two, I think. Yeah, because I was like, I can't stop watching it now. Like,
yeah, like it was really good.
Yeah. And I was, for some reason, sometimes I hope that a show that's 10 episodes is the entirety of a thing. Like, I hope that's it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh fuck, I gotta, it's like you said, you get depressed when like the season ends, you're like, shit, I gotta wait on the next one. Like, but yeah, I liked that a lot. Oh, and I watched the final watch or whatever on HBO, the Game of Thrones documentary that went over the last season. Cause I feel, I don't know. I have feelings and thoughts, but I honestly don't even care to bring them up about Game of Thrones. But
if we want this podcast to be like another hour of me complaining, exactly, then we can,
same,
we can go into
it. Yeah. So I did watch the documentary and it was good, but like, I just think you should watch it if you care at all about just, it's kind of cool to see like the extras and how they built King's Landing and just the logistics of it. But I thought it was so funny because the Night King actually speaks, like the guy that Vlad that plays the Night King, and he's very funny.
He was funny. He was my favorite part.
Yeah, he's like, ah, oh, do you know who I am? You know, and he's like excited to be the Night King because he's a stuntman by trade, and so for him to be like in that fine line between, am I a stuntman? Am I an actor? Do I hang out with the stuntman? Do I hang out with, because he still does stunts and things. So it was cute. That was cute to watch, but yeah. And there's an extra that they follow who's done a couple of seasons, and he's like very into the show. So it was very cute to watch. I liked it a lot.
It was interesting.
Yeah. I think everybody was just exhausted, and honestly, so are we. So.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
All right. Well, please review us. Give us a thumbs up on any platform that you're listening to us on. Shallow Dive Pod is our Instagram and Twitter, and shallowdivepod@gmail.com. Correct? Is that correct? I ask you every fucking time.
Yes.
It's all Shallow Dive Pod. So please hit us up. Yeah, for sure.
Did you notice that we have over 500 followers on Instagram?
You guys, that's so exciting. Thank you for...
I feel like when we get like 1,000, we should like do something.
Yeah, we're going to do something. We get 1,000 followers on Instagram, we'll do like an Instagram live, or we'll do something together where we are talking to you guys, or there's something fun. Like, I don't know. We're like, I'm like an old lady. I'm like, I don't know what these kids, these youth are doing out here on the streets. I don't know.
I mean, I was picturing like some sort of giveaway, but if you think just seeing us would be enough,
that you could see my beautiful acid-free face if you would like. Also, I'll post a picture that has nothing to do with the podcast this week, but my friend's little girl was like, trace me, mom, on the sidewalk last night, and I was like, ooh, trace me. So I had my husband trace me like my dead body pretty
that
much.
That picture's funny.
Yeah, so I'll post that up so you guys can see the things that married life turns into up here. So.
I mean, I guess if you want to follow me on like my personal Instagram, you can. It's Chessie is a Weirdo.
Go follow Chessie.
Yes.
Follow our podcast one, because I don't know any of you people and I got kids, so.
That's true. I don't have any kids, so.
Yeah, if I don't accept your follow, it's just because I don't know who you are, and I would be glad to chat with you on our Instagram and post pictures there that I approve of. But since I have a child, I am terribly paranoid.
Very smart.
So,
very smart.
So I'm trying to keep him out of the limelight because he did not ask for this. So not that I'm in the limelight. That was embarrassing. But like, since I pretend that I'm famous, please, please understand that I'm like no pictures. Paparazzi. Yeah. That's embarrassing that I said that. So we're all just going to move on. And
hey, it's time to end.
It's time anyway. On that note, we'll see you next time. Bye.